Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Honestly, I mean, I don't know if I should go to the extent I'm about to, but it's not a big deal. Bill O'Brien has already said that the reps for the players who, my words, matter,
yeah,
are going to be about as limited as they were on Thursday night in Kansas City.
The game need not be sold anymore. It's sold out anyways.
But I don't want to completely dismiss the battle for some training camp spots and what some of the remainder of the game might mean to some of the people.
Definitely.
And how it is still worth keeping an eye on. But in the suite, after the starters are done, it's going to be like we're at Little Woodrow's and there's a game,
yes,
and there's a game on the TV.
For most people, it will be. We know that the diehard 53-man roster folk will probably still be watching.
Which doesn't suck.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be fun.
Yes,
I'm a little
be.
Jealous. I'll have a post game that I got to do. I got to be, you know, the pregame I can be a little looser just because it's Mike who steers the ship on that. But I got, you know, I got to make sure that the boat comes into shore.
Understood.
On the post game. Yeah.
Understood.
Should be a lot of fun out there on Saturday. Rich, as we look ahead to Saturday's game, week two of the preseason, and you just hit on it, it's not like it used to be where week one the starters play a quarter, week two they play a half, week three they play three quarters, and then week four it's friends and family time watching guys 50 through 90 battle it out.
Watson may play only one series.
He might, and you know what? If he just hands off three times and gets the hell out of there, I'm cool with that. What's at the top of the list of things? Let's pretend for a second you're going to watch all 60 minutes in the suite there. What are some of the things that you – we'll go back and forth. What's at the top of Rich Lord's list of things to watch on Saturday?
I want to see a little bit more of Duke Ejiofor.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as we discussed, second only to quarterback play is the edge rusher in today's NFL.
Yeah.
And if this kid, you know, has the potential to provide quality depth at that spot where they've had some players in and out of the lineup the last couple of years, he could turn out to be an important piece.
Yeah, here's my feeling on Duke Ejiofor is I'm with you. I want to see that we're so excited about him right now. I want to see enough in this game to where it keeps our excitement level high about him. Because let's face it, like, of all the – you just struck on it, quarterback being number one. But if there's a second place on a roster where you can strike gold in the sixth round and you're like, oh, my God, this feels like found money.
No doubt.
It's edge rushing. Even on a team like this, Rich, where you've already got Whitney Mercilus and Clowney and Watt and Reeder. You've got some guys, you got some pieces in the blitz game that you feel pretty good about in terms of rushing the passer. But even just as insurance, you know, something
right.
Like if this Whitney, whatever this little nick or bruise that Whitney has, if that's a thing that lingers, then you got a guy who's at least competent. Because he looked like a veteran out there with moves he was using on Thursday against the Chiefs.
No doubt.
And my thing, Ejiofor is at the top of my list too, probably second on the list, as I told the guys in the toss today, is sort of this like 5 or 6 man cluster for spots, you know, 52 and 53 among these skill position guys on offense.
Right.
Specifically, you know, I feel like Braxton Miller and Sammy Coates are competing with Steven Anderson and, you know, LaVon Coleman and Troy Maine Pope as much as they're competing with the guys within their own position group.
Yeah.
So I want to watch those. I want to watch that competition both within positions and across the skill guys on Saturday. But when you're here's the gap, though, between Ejiofor and that for me is that Ejiofor, like, they could put five mannequins on spot 48 through 52 or 49 through 53 on this roster if it means that Duke Ejiofor, I would trade, you know, put five garbage men there if Ejiofor is a significant part of what this team could do for 10 or 15 plays a game.
Yeah.
That would be huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you want to keep going.
Yes, let's keep going.
We only saw this fivesome, this new starting lineup in the O-line for 19 snaps in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a bigger body of work for this specific reason. In those limited 19 snaps, there were a couple of moments like Calamente getting beat on that third and one, like Chantrell Henderson not doing all he could to keep the pressure off the quarterback.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's still things I want to see from this fivesome as a group that, you know, I don't want to jump to conclusions based on 19 snaps. I'd like a bigger body of work tomorrow night, specifically to see if there are how many, if any, of moments like that there might be.
Yeah, and they didn't have a great week against the 49ers in practice either. You know what I mean? They you know, if Deshaun Watson and Whedon and Webb, if they weren't wearing those red jerseys, it would have been interesting to see how many times they got, you know, they got a shoulder pad underneath the ribs.
Right. It's the one start. It's the one starting unit that feels like a project.
Yeah.
In this camp, or the most, the one starting unit that feels the most like a project in this camp. There's so much unknown about whether or not these guys can do the job.
Well, and it's the most interdependent part of the team, also. You know, with the offensive line, like it's one thing if you feel like, okay, the tight end position, which, by the way, is also one where you're like, holy crap, you got rookies at the tight end two and tight end three spots on the depth chart.
Right, and as Clint Sterner pointed out to us yesterday, those tight ends have to know all the blocking schemes.
Right.
They are pseudo-offensive linemen. They have a lot on their plate to learn.
They do, so maybe that's a bad example. But, you know, just other positions, like, you know, like linebacker or safety. Let's take safety as an example. Like, okay, you have these safeties. And I get it that all the defensive guys are interdependent on that side of the football. You know, it's 11 guys working as one, et cetera. But the offensive line, to me, is the most interdependent part of the team. They're the ones that need to be in sync. They're the most chemistry-based unit on a football team. And by the way, they're protecting the most valuable cargo on this football team.
Yeah, there is that.
You know, so that's – I would be – yeah, I'm with you. That is one unit I would like to see. It's one unit I'd like to see play the whole first half. Now, here's the thing. The depth guys need work as well, not only from a pure, you know, trying to get better standpoint, but also from an evaluation standpoint. Because I think the five are the five. The starting five are going to be the
tackle,
starting five.
Swing tackle, swing guard, things like that, there's some competition.
Yeah, but I feel like in the backup offensive line, like I don't know if it's just as simple as they're going to take the 10 guys who are in the one and two deep on the depth chart right now. I don't know if they're going to take 10, first of all. And if they only take nine, then who's the guy you cut loose? You know, are there any guys behind those two that you like at all? Martinez Rankin at some point is going to be back. So what does that mean to the second? I don't think he's cracking the starting lineup unless there's a disaster at tackle right now.
Right, but does he make a run at the swing tackle spot, which it feels like right now might be Kendall Lamb's to lose?
And that's a really scary thing to me because Kendall Lamb did not look that good at football last year.
Swing guard, Quesenberry or Fuller?
I can't say I've watched either of them close enough yet in these games to really evaluate. I'll be honest with you, like just purely, you know, the guy who likes heart tugging stories in me wants Quesenberry to make the team. I want Quesenberry to be a starter on this team someday because of what he's gone through. So I'm rooting for Quesenberry, but I can't say that I've sat down and watched Fuller and Quesenberry close enough to be able to you know, know educatedly who's going to win that coin flipper. But I think it may come down to that choice, though.
It might. And it's always possible they could keep a fourth tackle or a fourth guard. I think Greg Mance probably has a spot on
this
roster.
He's got a spot locked up. Yeah, he's got a spot locked up. He's looked pretty good. And I think they like Chad Slade. You know, Chad Slade's been playing right tackle on the second unit, and he's a guy who I think came here as a guard. So he's probably a guy who's maybe got a leg up on those other guys because of versatility.
Yeah, I could see him being the fourth tackle on this team.
Yep. So other than that, you know, the only other thing I had on my list, but he'll probably get treated like Deshaun Watson does, and that's Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, just to I know we saw him last year in December, but that was still when he was getting his 49er legs underneath him.
Yeah.
He's the guy now. He's the man – by NFL definition, he's the man more than Deshaun Watson is the man right now because he got paid.
This would be a marquee matchup if it was a regular season game. I mean, not that it isn't a great matchup, but
the
prospect of Garoppolo versus Deshaun for 60 minutes of football is pretty enticing.
Well, and we just spent the first segment of the show glancing ahead at the next 10 years because of the contract with Entercom and the Texans and just sort of, you know, kind of, you know, just kind of chopping it up about that a little bit. But as we sit here and pose the question to ourselves, you know, we know who the main event players are at the quarterback position now in the league. It's Tom Brady, it's Aaron Rodgers. Like, that would be the Super Bowl that the TV executives would all want, would be Brady and Rodgers, right?
Of course.
Some permutation of Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, Roethlisberger. Like, those are the big four right now. Well, they're all in their mid-30s or older right now. So 5 years from now, 7 years from now, when, you know, you and I are sitting here doing a show and we ask the question.
Brady Eli wouldn't do it for the networks?
Brady. Now, if they made the Super Bowl, they might, just because this would be Eli. Honestly, Rich, that would be a marquee Super Bowl just because Eli's 2-0 against him.
There's no doubt.
I know you're being tongue-in-cheek.
I am.
But I want to give your boy a little bone right there with Eli.
Thank you.
But 5 or 7 years from now, when we're sitting here having a conversation of, like, what do the TV executives want the Super Bowl matchup to be? Watson Garoppolo is a permutation that I think is one that we could look ahead 5 to 7 years and say that's one they would want.
Heck yeah.
And it's crazy because they've both only played 6 games.
Right.
But they've both been kind of, you know, Garoppolo's been anointed contractually, and I think Watson has been anointed even more than Garoppolo just from an overall league standpoint.
Yes.
As a future face of the
They're
league.
They're both expected to do great things over the better part of the next decade.
No doubt. No doubt. I got to put that list together and see, like, look ahead. Like, what are the matchups that the TV folks would want in 2025 for the Super Bowl?
After the transition we've been referencing.
Right, once all those other guys are gone.
Once these 39 and 40-year-old quarterbacks move on.
That's a good
topic.
Which
presumably is going to happen at some point, but does Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, or Tom Brady even look like they're close to being done?
No, but I mean, I'm saying 2025 is a long way. That's 8 years away.
True.
Yeah, so 7 years away, sorry. So, and we'll pretend that they'll have retired. It's not a bad topic. And here's why you can look ahead that way, Rich, because quarterbacks never change teams. They never, you know, Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback to change teams over the last 15 years, probably.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So, all right.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.